How do you forgive someone who's deeply wronged you? Genesis 49 and 50 closes the book of beginnings with powerful lessons on faith, forgiveness, and God's sovereignty. These final chapters remind us that God is faithful, His timing is perfect, and even what others mean for evil, God can use for good. Learn how to trust His plan, forgive freely, and live with confidence in His promises. Here's Stephen Davey with today's lesson from God's Word.
Well, today we finish our wisdom journey through the book of Genesis, the book of beginnings, which is what Genesis means. We've studied the only eyewitness account of creation as God revealed it to us through Moses. We've watched as the first couple, Adam and Eve, walked right into sin, and we've watched the results of sin spread throughout the entire fallen human race. But Genesis is also a book of promises. It presents the promise of a coming Redeemer, which has since come true in Jesus Christ. It offered promises to Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, and the nation Israel, promises of a land, a throne, a kingdom, and they will all be fulfilled later when we reach the last book of the Bible, the book of Revelation. Now, for today, the last scene of Jacob's life shows us a man of deep faith, so different from his earlier years of self-centeredness and deception. And in these closing chapters, we've watched Jacob speak words of blessing to Pharaoh back in chapter 47. He has spoken words of promise and blessing to Joseph and his two sons in chapter 48. Now here in chapter 49, he's going to bless his 12 sons, and he calls all of them to his side one at a time. Now verse 28 sets the stage for us here as we're told that Jacob blessed them, each with the blessing suitable to him. In other words, these blessings are prophetic. In fact, verse 1 states, these blessings are all about what will happen in the days to come. Jacob begins with his oldest son, Reuben, here in verse 3. And he says that while, you know, Reuben is preeminent in dignity and power, he's also unstable as water emotionally. And because of that sin described way back in Genesis 35 and verse 22, his tribe now is not going to be preeminent in Israel. In other words, he's forgiven, but there are consequences to sin. Next, Jacob blesses Simeon and Levi here in verses 5 through 7. He recalls their murderous revenge in Shechem years earlier, and now he delivers the lasting consequences of their sin, which will include being scattered abroad. This is a good reminder that while your sins and mine are forgiven through the blood of Christ, consequences may remain. The effects of drugs on someone's mental capabilities aren't miraculously, you know, removed when a person becomes a Christian. A prison sentence isn't automatically eliminated just because you got saved, or a marriage isn't immediately patched together because of infidelity. It isn't automatically restored. Beloved, sin can be forgiven, but consequences can linger. That's why we're encouraged to stay on the path and walk with God. God wants us to accept that fact. Don't resent God. Don't resist what God's plans are for you now as you trust Him and walk with Him. It might look different now, but God has a future for you as you walk with Him today. You can't change yesterday, but God can change you, and He has a purpose for you even now. Kind of like the Apostle Paul, you remember? He had a terrible past of persecuting Christians. He can say, and you with him, forgetting what lies behind and straining forward to what lies ahead, I press on toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. Philippians chapter 3, verse 13. Now, Jacob's fourth son, Judah, is called to the bedside, and He's described as powerful as a lion who will become a leader among the tribes of Israel. And in fact, verse 10 says that the scepter, that is the ruler's staff, will remain in Judah until tribute comes to him. Now, this word tribute here is literally Shiloh and probably refers to the Messiah. So Judah will become the royal tribe in Israel from which David will come and eventually the Messiah king. Now, Zebulun and Issachar are mentioned briefly with a few details in Jacob's blessing. His son Dan arrives at the bedside. He's described as a judge here in verse 16. And by the way, the judge Samson will become a prominent figure, and he comes from the tribe of Dan. Jacob's blessings on Gad and Asher and Naphtali are brief, and they predict future conflicts and even productivity on their farms. Well, now, next, the blessings for Joseph's descendants, who will become the half-tribes of Ephraim and Manasseh, they're described here in verses 22 through 26. And like Joseph himself, they will prosper, but they'll also come under attack. In the end, however, it's predicted that they will stand firm by the help of Almighty God. Well, now, finally, the youngest son, Benjamin, is going to be described by Jacob as a wolf. This probably, speaks of his descendants who have a warlike character. In fact, Judges chapter 20 and verse 16 tells us that the Benjamites would become known for their military skill as archers and slingers. Now here in verse 29, Jacob charges his sons to bury him in the cave of Machpelah. You may remember this is where Abraham, Sarah, Isaac, Rebekah, and Leah, they're all buried there. This is a declaration of faith, by the way, because for the last 17 years of his life, Jacob has lived in the land of Goshen here in Egypt. But he considers Canaan, the land of promise, his real home. So following this command concerning his burial to take him back to the land of promise, we're told that Jacob dies. Now we're arriving at the last chapter of Genesis, and this is chapter 50. Here in chapter 50, two events immediately grab our attention. The first is the burial of Jacob. Joseph orders here in verse 2 the embalming of his father's body. Joseph is able to preserve Jacob's body for the long trip back to Canaan. Now, the second event refocuses on Joseph and his brothers. Now, after Jacob dies, Joseph's older brothers become afraid that Joseph, he might seek revenge after all. Well, here in verse 16, they send a message to Joseph, and they ask all over again for forgiveness. Listen, 39 years after they sold Joseph into slavery, they still can't believe that Joseph has really forgiven them. I mean, you just don't forgive this kind of thing, do you? So is Joseph going to call for the royal executioner to lop off their heads now that Daddy Jacob has died? No. He tells them in verse 19 that they have nothing to fear. Then he makes this incredible statement to them in verse 20. You meant evil against me, but God meant it for good, to bring it about that many people should be kept alive as they are today. So do not fear. Wow. How do you respond like this? He had been treated so unfairly, so cruelly, so unjustly. His life had been permanently changed. Don't forget, he's lived in Egypt, and he's going to live in Egypt until the day he dies. Let me tell you, responding like Joseph means understanding the principle of divine appointment. Joseph recognized that all he had experienced was ultimately God's plan. God was in control. God was in control even of the evil that had impacted his life. Joseph could never have predicted exactly how the Lord would work it all out. But he's confident that God would. And now, after nearly 40 years, I mean, that is a lifetime, Joseph is going to demonstrate grace to his brothers, and he's going to forgive them all over again. Beloved, have you forgotten that where you are in life right now is not the result of human accidents or human evil? That's secondary, but the ultimate cause, direct cause, is divine appointments. I want you to listen to Joseph tell his brothers that everything that happens in life, the good and the bad, is according to God's appointment calendar. Several decades later, before Joseph dies at the age of 110, he makes the nation of Israel promise to take his body with them when they leave the land of Egypt. That's going to happen 400 years later. The great Exodus is going to take place. And Moses will keep that promise and carry Joseph's bones with him as Jacob's descendants leave the land of Egypt for good. Well, the book of beginnings now comes to an end. This book that began with the creation of life ends with the death of Joseph, as if to highlight what sin brought into a world God had created so perfectly. But Genesis also ends with the assurance that whatever God promises, He fulfills. And it's true for you and me. No matter what happens to you in this fallen world of sin, God will carry you through all the way to the promised land of heaven. Now may the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Amen.
Jacob's final blessings and Joseph's forgiveness point to God's faithfulness. That was Stephen Davey, and this is The Wisdom Journey. Today's lesson is called Scenes of Faith and Forgiveness. Joseph's story reminds us that God's plans are always good, even when life seems unfair. Next time we're with you, we'll be in the book of Exodus. Join us here on The Wisdom Journey.